Okay, let's release some joy in the room. Do you want to be happy in life? I like joy. I like enjoying things. How many of you know that you can enjoy church, that you are allowed to? And I do feel like, if I'm honest, church should be the most fun place ever in the world, because we know the guy that literally invented joy. So I feel like it should be a good place to hang out, but I feel like sometimes church can be the place where it's all very quiet and serious. And so I want to encourage us to release some joy in the room today. So can you do me a favor to start with? Can you smile for me? Show me some teeth, people. In fact, when you turn to the person, they should just smile at them with all your teeth that you can. Come on, please. That's it. Smile at them with all your teeth. My friends, did you know that when you smile, whether you are faking it or whether it's real, your brain does not know? So your brain just releases chemical endorphins anyway and actually makes you happy. So if you're ever feeling a bit low in the morning, just look at yourself in the mirror and laugh and laugh and laugh. Try that for me. Just give me a ha ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. So if my preach is getting a bit boring, just go like this and laugh, and I promise it will suddenly get a bit better. Okay, one last thing to release some joy, because I would like to do that today, is in a second, I'm going to ask you to hug somebody. But please hear me on this. Some of you maybe don't like physical touch, but this will maybe convince you. I'm going to ask you to hug for 20 seconds. Why? Why 20 seconds? That is, and by the way, it's actually a really long time when you're hugging somebody. It's about to get awkward for you. But when you hug somebody for 20 seconds, your body actually gets healthier. Yep, stress levels go down, joy levels go up, just simply because you embraced another human being for 20 seconds. Okay, have you found somebody you're going to hug? If there's three of you, you guys go ahead for a three. Okay, 20 seconds, hug them. Go. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16. See, it's a really long time. 14, 13, 12, just embrace it. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, no, I'm joking, 4, 3, 2, and 1. You can let them go. Fantastic. See, look, you feel better, right? Yeah? This is science, people. This is science. Do you feel better? Do you feel happier? No? You feel the same. You were already so happy. Come on, you're wearing a red beret. I mean, you're looking awesome. You've got to be level happy at some point. Okay, just so you're aware, while I am preaching, you are free to interact by saying amen. Oh, come on, amen, amen, amen. Come on, amen. Do you know what amen? Amen means let it be. So when you're saying amen, if I say God loves you, you say amen because you're saying let it be that God loves me. You're actually claiming the words that I'm saying. So do me a favor. When I say something that you think is relevant to you and important to you, you say amen. Do you want to try that? If it gets so good that you're actually really excited about it, you feel free to clap and say amen. You're like, amen. I like to make the I like that one. Oh, that was a that was good point. Imagine that you just smelt something. You're like, that was good. Good point. Now, if you really feel like I am flowing and there's something moving in the room and you're excited about it, you feel free to stand up and clap your hands and shout amen. If you would like to, you can yell preach it at me if you would like to, but only at a good moment. Just don't just yell at me randomly. It will confuse me. Is that okay? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Because I want you to understand that when I'm preaching, it's not just for you to hear intellectually, it's for you to grab hold in your spirit. You hear me? Seriously, I'm not joking about this. This is an important principle for churches. You must receive what I'm teaching, because then you can put it into your life. You can take the words that I'm saying and say, that's going to be relevant to me. So when I say God is a God that heals people, if you are sick, you say amen, because God is a God that heals people. And if he said it, I'm receiving it for my life because I'm sick right now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You must receive what I'm saying to you. Now, I'm not going to treat you like teenagers today. I'm going to treat you like amazing believers of God, saints of God in the house. So I want you to claim with me this today. Is that okay? Amen? Amen. Fantastic. Right, we're going to read Psalm 23 together. We're going to read it. I'm going to unpack it with you, and then we're going to end, okay? I won't be up here for a really long time, just 3 hours, and that's it. That's all I've got with you. It's a joke. It's okay. You can laugh. All right? Oh, we're going for the NLT. Okay, let's mix it up. I'm just going to read this to you, and we're going to unpack this psalm together. Do you know this psalm already? Anybody? Anybody memorize this psalm? Some of you, good, good. I'm glad you know this psalm already. The Bible says, The Lord is my, and I shall not. Oh, sorry, that's the different translation. They always mix it up. Can I get the NIV? Is that all right? Thanks, guys. I have all that I need, or I shall not want. I like the shall not want better because God wants to give you more than just what you need. He likes to give you what you want. Hang on, Liam, that doesn't make sense. That just sounds like God's going to be a vending machine to me. No, do you not understand? If the shepherd is all that you want, the shepherd will give you all that you want. Yeah, good. I'm glad you took that in. I says I lack nothing. Okay, don't worry. Just keep it. That's fine. Thank you. Oh, King James. Wow, we're mixing it up. We're going old school to the King James, everyone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. People, do you read that and then just brush over it? Does anyone else do that with the Bible? You read a bit and then you just brush over it because you're trying to get through your Bible reading so you feel like you've done something holy today. But the Bible says there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a big deal. How many of you want things in life? How many of you have situations going on you're thinking, man, I really could do with God showing up right now? And the Bible says there, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a huge promise. Would you agree? That is a huge promise for God to make. And see, what God is trying to say to people and what he's trying to say to us and what I'd like to say to you this evening is he wants to give you a contentment in life. A contentment, by the way, is the emotional state of being happy with your life no matter what is going on around you. Even if there is something tough, you still find a joy and a happiness in life. You somehow manage to be comfortable in the midst of tough circumstances. How many of you find tough circumstances tough? But God's saying, I can give you something that even in there, you'll be able to survive. And not only survive, but you'll be able to thrive. The Bible continues saying, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters. How many of you would like to lie down in some green fields in your life? Okay, maybe not that relevant. You're thinking, why would I want to do that? How many of you would like to sit beside still waters in your life? Okay, let me throw it like this. How many of you would like to laugh more in life? How many of you would like some more peace in life? How many of you would like some calmness in your life? How many of you would like to lose the worry? Anybody worry too much? How many of you would like to lose the anxiety? How many of you would like to lose the fear of other people's opinions? How many of you would like to have a peace in your life that no matter what is going on, you somehow manage just to lie down and even in the midst of tough circumstances, you find some green pastures? Thank you, my friend at the back. Didn't see who you were. How many people want that? How many of you want some joy? How many of you know when you're laughing and it really hurts? Isn't that like the best thing in the world? By the way, if you're looking for a boyfriend or girlfriend, please pick someone that makes you laugh. Because you're going to spend a really long time with them if you end up marrying them. And I'm just thinking, you don't want to be with someone that doesn't make you laugh. My wife makes me laugh so much. Find somebody that makes you, because isn't it the best thing when you're like, you're laughing so much that you're hurting? And this is what God is saying to us. He's saying, guys, even in the midst of this world where yes, you will face tough things, I want to create a space for you where you can sit down and you can just chill out beside some still waters where you can have some peace. I don't know about you, but I feel like life is getting really fast. It feels like things change so fast these days. I'm a bit older, so maybe for you it's not that bad, but I feel like we as a people these days have lost the ability to be content. In fact, if I put a word on it, I would say that we're discontent. There is always something in our life that we are not happy with. There's always something in our life that's causing us worry and stress. There's always something in our life that raises our anxiety levels. Am I just making this up, or would you agree with me? I'll tell you what, art can prove it to you. I've seen this happen. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I have literally been in conversations with a girl who was crying. And I went up to her, being a good pastor, and I went up to her and said, "Hey, what's going on? Are you okay?" And she's weeping. She's really weeping. And when I asked her what was wrong, she said, "Liam, I liked my friend's photo on Instagram the other day, and she did not return the favor, and she did not like my picture." I know. Now, you may laugh, but let's be real. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've not cried before, but maybe you wish that that person would have liked your picture. Okay, let me tell you another time. I have seen it before. I've seen guys particularly go to the gym. When they're at the gym, they like to get the big long mirror and take a nice picture of themselves to make themselves look more muscular. And then when they comment, they always caption it like something like, "Hey, the sun's out, guns out," or something like that. And I'm like, I cannot see the sun because you're in a gym. Have you seen anything like this before? I'm worried that we're becoming discontent. We are trying to prove to everyone that our life is so good because actually we are struggling to find just joy and happiness in life anyway. Am I right? Do you think I'm right? Okay, let's maybe get a bit more serious about it. I know I'm joking with those kind of stories. They do happen, though. Maybe let's get a bit more serious. Do you know if you're a guy my age, the most likely killer of you in your life is suicide? Guys in their 20s and 30s, biggest killer is suicide. How? How can somebody so near to the beginning of their life feel like they are done with it? And then don't just make it like this is my gen. Guys, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. We had so many young people who felt like the only way to find some level of contentment was to harm themselves because it's the only way they could find control. Am I being real now? We used to have girls and guys at our youth event have panic attacks throughout the evening because they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the level of discontentment they felt in their life. They would look at themselves in the mirror. They would hate what they saw. They would try and find friends, but they were broken and they were misunderstood. And so they were struggling to find contentment and they ended up harming themselves. They ended up having anxiety and panic attacks. And guys, I'm not making this up. I'm just being real with you. Is that, you understand what I'm talking about? Do you see it in school? Do you see it around you? There is discontentment. I feel a bit bad for us because I feel like this world today is so performance heavy. You have to show up all the time. You have to be there. You know, we're great. My life's fine. I got it together. Look how great my life is. Have you not seen the latest picture of me on Instagram? I look so good. We're trying so hard. But I feel like it's just causing discontentment. And when God is the shepherd of your life, He doesn't want that for you. He says, "I am your shepherd. Stop letting other people shepherd you. Stop letting your own mind be the shepherd of you." How many of you actually, we just think that we know better for our lives than God does? God's like, "Let me be the shepherd, and I will lead you to a place of contentment. I won't fix anything," because the Bible continues. "Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You see, he's saying, guys, I want to lead you to contentment. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go swimmingly well in your life. Bad things will still happen to good people. But please hear me. He's saying that I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will end up leading you to a place of contentment. My friends, this is good news. This is good news. If you are somebody who came here this evening and you're struggling with insecurities, you're struggling with worry, you're struggling with anxiety, this is good news for you. Because I'm telling you, there is somebody who is willing to lead you to still waters and green pastures. I want church to be joyful again. I want your generation, I want you specifically to set an example for the friends around you that no matter what happens to you, you find a peace and joy in the name of Jesus Christ. So that when they're going through struggles, when there's an exam season, the pressure's on and they're trying to stress out, you go, "Guys, take a breath, be calm. The Lord is our shepherd." You know, you're supposed to be different to the people around you. You get that? You're with me on that, yeah? You should be different to the people around you because you know the shepherd. He leads you through the valley. He takes you to the still waters. When your friends are freaking out and they don't know where to go and life's being too much and they're finding so much discontentment, they should be able to look at you and say, how do you have so much peace? And you go, man, let me tell you about the shepherd. Let me tell you about the shepherd. You know, there's a way that Jesus gets us through the valley to the green pastures, which is quite an interesting way. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm just going to share this briefing and I've got one more point for you and then we'll call it a day there. He says in this passage, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Isn't that strange? I'd like a pillow to comfort me, you know, dressing gown. But he says a rod and a staff. Why does he say rod and a staff? Why does a shepherd use a rod and a staff on his sheep? To smack them back into place. Sometimes the way Jesus wants to lead you to places of contentment is through discipline. I think we've wanted the world to be so easy these days. Life has become very easy. I don't even need to carry my wallet anymore. My phone does it all. If I want food, it's there for me immediately. I've wanted life to be easy for me. And God's saying, that's not how it works. I want to build some discipline in you. I want to get you to be strong and have a bit of a stamina about you that you can go through some things and make it out the other side. And actually, God's going to send people around you. God's going to send your youth pastors. Amen, youth pastors. Amen. God's going to send your parents around you to bring discipline to you that when you're starting to feel a bit low and you're getting discontent and you're starting to wallow in it, how many of you have ever been there in your life? I've had so many teenagers say to me, you don't understand me. You don't understand. I'm like, I understand. You're just not listening. Just try listening to me once. Maybe it will work out, you know. Youth pastors in the house, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They say, you don't understand me. And I'm like, just try listening to a bit of discipline in your life and do as you're told. And actually, maybe you'll walk through the valley and you'll get to the other side. Oh, we don't amen that one, Rob, do we? Because who wants to amen discipline in their life? Let it be that I get disciplined and challenged. Guys, if you are being challenged and disciplined, amen. Because that means somebody believes that you can be better. Some of you are avoiding it, man. You know exactly what the youth pastor says. You hide away, man. You just hide away. Do not fear the rod and the staff. They are a comfort to you. Because they keep you going down the wrong track. Do you actually know in the Bible, you know, it talks about Jesus losing the one sheep from the 99. He goes off to find it. Do you know this story? Give me a nod. You know this story? Do you know that if the shepherd finds the sheep, what was traditional back in those days, that they would break the leg of the sheep? Why? So they learned the lesson. Don't wander off. It hurts. That discipline actually brings him back. Now, I'm not saying youth pastors are going to go and break your legs every time you do something wrong. But don't be afraid if your youth pastor says, hey, can I have a chat with you about something? I don't like what you posted. You're better than that. Why are you trying to get likes just the way you look? You're beautiful enough. You don't need to prove it to anyone. Amen? Come on, youth pastor, you should be standing up clapping me saying amen. Thank you so much that he's saying it. Am I right, Rob? Thank you. All right, okay, my last point. I don't know how I'm doing for time, but I'll keep going. Please, read the Bible on this, okay? Let's read the last two verses together. Let me read it to you. Thou preparest, sounds so posh, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. How many of you would like your life just to be overflowing with the goodness of God, by the way? Anyone want to amen that point? And then the Bible carries on saying this, which I think is fascinating. Please, please, if you haven't listened to me for the whole time, listen to me now. Surely, goodness and mercy, or in some translations, love, and I'm going to use love tonight because I think we'll understand it a bit easier. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And then I will end up dwelling in the house of the Lord in heaven forevermore. Okay. Did you hear me on that? Goodness and love, they follow me. They follow me. When I show up, guess who's right behind me? When you turn up to a party, guess who's following in behind you? When you turn up to your friendship circle and people are struggling with discontentment and unlove and they don't really know their own value, guess who's following you? When I turned up to Staines and Egham to plant my church, guess who was right behind? Yes, you must have faith in this statement. You know that you have faith in this statement because you stop trying to force goodness and love to follow you. You don't need to fight for them. You don't need to force it. You don't need to prove it to everybody else. You don't need to shout about it. They will simply follow you and the evidence will be self-sufficient. You don't... Perfect timing. I see it so often. Let me prove it to you like this. Rob, can I borrow you? Sam, can I borrow you as well? Can you come stand out here for me? Come and stand here and face this direction for me. Just come over. Thank you. We're going to prove this point. And then this is it. I'm done. That's it. Stand that way and then face me. Okay, Rob, you're going to represent goodness. Fantastic. Good. Sam, you're going to represent love. Okay? What I see in this world is there is goodness and love which God has promised to us. And then you and I are trying so desperately for everyone else to know that we are doing okay and that our life is good and our life is great and our life means something, that we're actually forcing these two to come along. But let me show you how it looks. If I'm trying to make them come with me, I'm like, hey guys, look how good, look how loving my life is. Look how many people love me. My opinion is so good. Come on, my life is so good. Let me take a selfie with it. Yeah, everything's so great. I'm doing so well. Life, hey, love, come on, seriously, follow me. Come on, be with me. Please, love me, be with me, notice me. My opinion, guys, this is tiring. I feel tired acting it. No wonder we are so tired as a generation. No wonder people are getting to the end of being 16 and being 20 and they're starting to say, you know what, I'm just done. And the only way out I can see from maintaining this performance lifestyle, this lifestyle where I try and prove myself so much, the only way I can see to get through it is by harming myself so that everybody else knows I'm in trouble. That is tiring. I'm tired acting it out. But the Bible doesn't say fight for it. What does the Bible say? Follows. Come on, can you say that word? Goodness and love follow. So let's look at what it should be like. Goodness and love, please go back. Okay, this time I'm going to let you do the talking. Love, tell me how much Jesus loves me. Scream it from the rooftops. Tell me. Tell me how much God loves me, how I'm valued, how meaningful I am, how purposeful my life is, how much God died for me, and that He wants to set me free and put me on a path of righteousness. Goodness, tell me how good God is. And then tell me the good things He wants to do for my life. Tell me how He wants to provide for me. Tell me how He wants to heal me. Tell me how He wants to do good things and give me good things and good gifts. Can you tell me? Yeah, I'm going to ask you to follow me in a second. And when you follow me, I want you to do the talking. You tell these people how good God has been to me. You tell people how loved I am by God. Is that all right? This is what your life should look like. As you walk your life... I'm actually really enjoying this. I do not feel tired one bit. In fact, I feel lifted. I feel encouraged. In fact, you know what I might do? I might just lie down in some green pastures, if that's all right. I might sit beside you guys. Carry on. I'm just going to take a moment to relax. Tell me. Come on, tell me. Thank you so much. I'm just going to relax. On, somebody, give me an amen to that. You don't need to fight for it. Stop striving. Stop performing. Stop trying to think that you are the one that's going to hold it all together. Let Christ do the talking for you. His love and His goodness is better than anything you can ask or imagine anyway. So let Him do the talking for you. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much, guys. Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to ask you to respond to this. Because I, as a teenager, had many moments of encounter with God, and you must do the same. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. Sometimes you've got to speak directly to Him. So if you are somebody in the room today, and my words have impacted you, and you know that you've been worrying, striving, struggling with insecurities and anxieties, maybe even in this room you have been self-harming, and you know you are tired and tired and tired and weary of trying to convince everybody that everything's okay and that life looks good, and you are just tired of trying to figure out life by yourself, if you are just done with trying to hold it all together for yourself, then you know what? Amen. You're in a great place, because at that place you can let God in. And if that is you this evening, if that is you this evening, in a moment I'm going to invite you out, and I want you to come out to the front. I want you to kneel down, and I want you to tell Jesus, I've done. Would you please be my shepherd? That's what you're going to ask Him. I don't care whether you've done it before or whether it's your first time. If you know you need it, then come forward and grab it. Come down and kneel down and say, God, I need you to be my shepherd. I keep leading myself to wrong places. God, would you please lead me to some contentment in my life? If that is you, just come out right now, kneel down all around the front, anywhere you like. Kneel down and tell God, God, I'm done. You are now my shepherd. Come on, come on out. Do not be afraid. You need to have an encounter with God. It's not fear, awkwardness. This is a sacred moment. Come on out, come on out. As close to the front as you like. Come and kneel down, and you tell God. No one else is going to come pray for you. You tell Him. God is in this house. You tell Him. You say, God, I need you to be my shepherd. Come on, is there anybody else? Don't lose this moment. If you know it's you, come out to the front. Come out to the front. Say, God, I'm done. I'm done. Speak to God. Doesn't matter whether you are a leader in this house. Doesn't matter even if you're on the band. If you know you need this, grab hold of it. This is not about a performance. This is not about making something awesome in a show. This is about you having a moment with God. Is there anybody else? You come out. You're self-harming, you have anxiety, come on out, kneel down before Him. Say, God, be my shepherd, be my shepherd, be my shepherd. Rush in this moment, don't you worry. You spend this moment. If you are at the front right now, do me a favor, tell Jesus. Use your mouth, use your words, and say, Jesus, I've had enough. Would you be my shepherd? Tell Him. Tell Him, God, I want to be content. Tell Him, I want to find joy in any and all circumstances. Tell Him. Jesus, I pray right now, move in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask, come and do a mighty work in the young people here that have responded and have asked for you to be their shepherd. Holy Spirit, move in this place, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, if there is any spirit of the enemy that has been holding these young people back, any chain that has been spoken over them, any chain that has entered their head or entered their mind, if there's any words of the enemy, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, they be gone from your life. I rebuke the enemy and his hold over your life and say that you are set free. You are a child of Jesus Christ and his blood has set you free from any hold of the enemy. And I speak him off you right now, that you may be free to think clearer, to have God as your shepherd. Take your time. Tell him all the things you're done with. Tell him that anxiety is going to go. Tell him that insecurity is now going to go. Tell him, say, Jesus, be my shepherd. Lead me out of this.